What can reflecting on your growth with Jesus do for continuing to hand over struggles to Him? Welcome to Handing It to Jesus. This is the podcast where we do learn to trade our deepest struggles to God for peace. My name's Matt Tilley, and I'm here with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
We are excited today to talk a little bit more about this next chapter in the workbook, Reflect. It comes right after Meditate. And we're asking you guys, after you've experienced some measure of success and seen some movement or some growth and handing part of your deepest struggle over to the Lord through your reflection on it, through your understanding of who God is, through your own discipline and action steps in actually spending more time with the Lord or with other believers, and you've had time to meditate on what's changed, what looks different, to move into this chapter of Reflect, and really take time to sit with what has changed and what has actually contributed the most to this change in your life. And more often than not, whenever we look behind us and we see how far we've come, we are able to do something that kind of resembles like a celebration. And I don't mean like needing to have like a big party, you know, capital C celebrate. But I mean lowercase c celebrate, where we can tell ourselves, like, yeah, this is a good thing, what's happened. Mm-hmm. I am proud of myself. I am thankful to the Lord for what has slowly been changing in my life. And right. We can just kind of acknowledge, like, yeah, it's a big deal what's mm-hmm. been happening. I can actually see the progress and the movement that's been happening. Yeah. I think that's the power of this chapter, being able to reflect on even just small, slow, incremental growth.
Right. And there is biblical precedence for this. Often what God will do with the people of Israel is He would have them set up landmarks or stones or, you know, stacking stones or different things like that to try to help them recognize that when people later on come here, they will see this mm-hmm. and they will remember what I've done for you.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the heart of what we're doing here is trying to really distill down where Jesus has been helping us in our life, what kind of moves we've been doing that's been helping to facilitate that on our end, right? What kind of trust have we been able to hand over to Jesus?
Absolutely.
What kind of struggles in prayers and talking to people and Bible studies have we been able to do to hand over this struggle and to be able to recognize that so we can see that landmark and so that we could say to, you know, we could praise Jesus, thank Jesus for what He's done.
Yeah.
And also, all right, there's something here for us. We can recognize that there's something here for us, and if God's did it then, and He has been doing it, He'll continue to do it. Yep. So let's continue to press into that. So we have some questions here in this reflect step to really help start to get us in that mindset that we're trying to get for this. And again, Matt's totally right. We want to make sure that you've experienced some type of success. If you haven't experienced a lot of success, then make sure to continue on with that meditate section, to continue to press into some of those strengths that you have, continue to press into those hardships, to give yourself that time to be able to do this. And it really, at the end of the day, if you're not able to experience some of that success, let's go and look back at that action plan.
Yeah.
And let's go
rinse and repeat, right?
Well, let's go reform some of it. If things are not working, go and reform that action plan. Highlight some other things you need to do. Double down on some things, like lay off on some things, whatever mm-hmm. it may be able to help you to start to hand these struggles over to Jesus. Because if it's not working, all right, don't continue to beat your head against the wall. We know
it's not worth powering through just to finish this workbook.
Right. We know that God is faithful. God is there for you. And for you, you may need to work on a certain part of your heart, a certain part of your habit, a certain part of your daily struggle to be able to get in that right mindset. And so maybe praying 5 times a day isn't it. Maybe you need to pray 10 times a day, right? Maybe just talking to one friend a week and meeting up once a month isn't enough. Maybe you need to be able to do that more often. Maybe just reading the Bible once a day isn't enough. Maybe you need to do more. So
morning and evening, right?
Yeah, allow yourself to have some flexibility there if you haven't experienced that success. But if you have, then we can continue on with this. And we'll do, as we've done with some of these other sections, to demonstrate what this looks like or kind of exactly what we're looking for, these questions. Matt and I will talk about our own journeys here and handing our own struggles over, just so you kind of get an idea of what we're really looking for when you're filling out these questions.
That's right.
Well, let's start with that first one. What is the single largest thing that you've noticed about your relationship with God while you have been working through this process?
Now, our journey is going to look a little bit different than yours, you know, since we wrote this workbook up. We're talking through it each week. The single largest thing that you've noticed about your relationship with God, not necessarily what's changed or what's different, but just that you've noticed about your relationship with God while you've been walking, working through this process. I have noticed for myself, I feel, or at least I understand that He is with me more than I felt before. And I notice that more because I'm more often moving toward Him with some of those action steps that we talked about before, with my scripture reading, with kind of saturating my time and my mind and my heart with the knowledge of Him and who He is in the Word, how He's operated throughout history with us, the story of His grand redemption plan, and just all of these little instances each day where I get a different reminder of who He is. You know, like right now I'm reading through Numbers at the moment. You know, there's instances where, like, He swallows up a whole group of people into the earth because they're not obeying Him and His rules and regulations around who is to approach the temple or the tabernacle, His holy place, or where He has a firm consequence on Moses and Aaron because Moses was disobedient to Him. And when He struck this rock 2 times to get water out of it to provide for the Israelites, His heart attitude was annoyed and frustrated with the Israelites, and He was not really trusting or believing in God and His promises. So He was not able to enter the Holy Land. And I'm reminded, like, wow, God really takes sin seriously. And that reminds me of how serious my sin is, even though I'm not getting swallowed up into the earth. And it reminds me, well, why isn't that happening to me? Because I probably deserve it. And I can't help but at that moment think, oh, because of the cross. And so even as I read through scripture, like, I remember God's wrath of sin, and I'm simultaneously thinking about Jesus dying on the cross for me, and I'm reminded He hates my sin, He demands perfection, and He loves me so much that Jesus died on a cross for me. And I can't help but think about that throughout the day after I've, you know, spent a little bit of time reading through scripture. And so I notice that I'm just thinking more about Him.
Right.
And I like that a lot.
Good stuff. I think the largest thing that's changed with me and my relationship with God is, when you get around believers, right, you have everybody that's at a different place in their walk. And a lot of times when you get believers that walk for a long time with God, they start to say different things, like they talk about the consistency of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as a new believer, that's really hard to reconcile with, because you're like, the God of the Old Testament and New Testament, very different, mm-hmm. right? Jesus and God are different.
Yeah. Different covenants.
But the more and more that I lean into, especially like one of the things that's been helpful for me is to continually remind myself who God is based on what I've read in Scripture. And the more and more I do that, the more and more that I am recognizing God's consistent behavior in the Old Testament versus New Testament, there is something that brings about great comfort, because whenever there seems to be some type of discrepancy, and if I can lean in on that and I can try to understand it and go in with the idea that, okay, this is the same God. And if I can go in through that lens and I could be curious about God, often what happens is I find talking to God and handing my struggle over is easier because I have a more robust idea of who God is and a more constant of who God is.
Right.
There isn't this fickleness about God. And like you said, there's this seriousness that is God and what sin is. And I need to be able to adopt those things. And something about that helps give me stability and really cherish that relationship with God even more.
Right. I love that, dude. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it easier to move toward him for you. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, what do you suppose your answer in the above question indicates about your growth? Well, I didn't really know who God was. That's what indicates about my growth. Or I had a over my life, I've had an inconsistent view of God. And
sure.
Because of that inconsistency, it's created instability in my ability to stand on God's word.
Right. Yeah, similar for me. I think what that says is that when I'm not actively engaged with some of the disciplines that are healthy and good for me, my mind doesn't automatically just drift to God and drift to how can I love him and serve him and be holy and set apart. That I absolutely need to have some disciplines in my life for me to feel close to the Lord.
Right.
I think that's what I realize and know about myself, is that when I get into those bad habits, I suffer in more ways than just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question three, what action steps did you find the most rewarding?
Ooh. How about you?
I think the easy answer is to say scripture reading.
Mm-hmm.
Since our last episode, we were both kind of talking, I think, a little bit more about prayer and what we wanted to change or alter a little bit in our action steps or our plan. And I've been trying to pray a little bit more this past week and just be in the presence of God through that. Just talk to him. And I found that pretty rewarding this past week. And I think that if I continue to press into that a little bit more, to discipline myself, right, a little bit more, I think I might find that more rewarding. Especially maybe the older I get, I think I crave and long for connection to the Lord. And I think prayer is such a unique thing that we get to talk to God. And he hears us and listens. So yeah, I see a client, like I try to remember like to take a second on my own, pray for that client as they're walking out the door. Or when I'm in the car going to work or coming back home, to kind of pray and prepare myself for what I'm walking into.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be long or complicated. I try to not make it too complex. Or else I don't really want to do the thing, you know? But I find that rewarding because I feel like I look forward to chatting with God.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What about you, dude?
I think this changes based on the month for me. So whenever I first started hitting the struggle over, prayer was very profound. Yeah, it still can be. It still is at moments. I have to get in the right headspace for it, right? And that's whenever it's the most useful for me, mm-hmm. is whenever I give myself time to get to that headspace. But I would say that probably a nice combo that's been going on for me is whenever I'm around people, I look for the opportunity to mention God, because then I can relate it back to my struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be really helpful, low-hanging fruit. Like if I can just find some way during a conversation to bring God into the conversation, and then it gives me the opportunity to expand on it. Obviously I may not do this with clients, because it may not necessarily make sense for why we're meeting, but this has become fairly easy to weave in with some of my friends, different conversations we have, or my wife or my kids,
mm-hmm.
Which has been helpful. But I'd find that the combo that I've enjoyed the most is the reading of scripture, right? So I have my struggle in the back of my mind while I'm reading scripture. It helps highlight different things about scripture. So like I'm listening to a podcast that is going through, it's reading through the Bible in a year.
Cool.
And so it's hitting different parts of the Bible in one kind of session of reading. Then I have my Bible study group. Mm-hmm. I have some things that I may read with the family. And then I have other podcasts that I listen to, are kind of more of a deep dive into different themes. And so they're kind of at different places in the Bible all the time. And then I have church, which is in a different place in the Bible than all those other ones. So what that provides for me is a lens into all these different areas to kind of mm-hmm. connect some of these things. We're like, oh yeah.
Right.
And then what I experimented with last month was, all right, I'm going to read this book by this Christian that has nothing to do with my struggle, but kind of tangentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about farming. And right. I found,
I remember you mentioning
that. Yeah, I found it very helpful. So like out of Bible, out of the Bible resource, but it was written by a Christian. So often he would make references of what he's talking about in the Bible, mm-hmm. and in regards to this farming. And that was really powerful for me because it helped me see some of the places that my generosity has been compromised because of how detached I am from God's blessing, with,
mm-hmm.
Being able to grow things out of the land and being able to kind of make that direct connection.
Right.
Right. Like you and I are drinking some coffee while we're talking about this. I'm very detached from the process that went into making this coffee and the ground where this coffee was grown and the people that harvested it and all the fact that the sun and the soil and the rain, all this stuff had to be mm-hmm. together to create this. I'm very detached from that process,
mm-hmm.
which for someone like me, that's hard to be a generous giver, is a breaking in that kind of logical, emotional leap of God is directly providing. I can see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really interesting thing. So I'd say that just here within the past month or so, that has been an interesting combo in this action step that I'm eager to continue to dive into to see how that continues to help with my struggle.
I love that, dude. What I like about that is that there's so many little different little sources of truth that you're letting your mind and your heart absorb or soak mm-hmm. up, and they're all pointing you toward Jesus, the cross. And they may not all be directly, specifically just about your struggle, but you're keeping your struggle in mind as you hear those things.
Right.
That's really helpful. I imagine that is an incredibly powerful place to be, when you can give yourself permission to look at anything mm-hmm. that helps you think more deeply about God, but while still trying to figure out, well, how do I apply this to how I'm personally struggling?
Absolutely.
What can I glean from this that's going to give me insight to move forward and continue mm-hmm. to allow Jesus into every room in the proverbial house of my heart.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool. I like that.
Well, and that kind of goes right along with the next question for mm-hmm. me. Like, what, you know, what is it that I want to develop? You know, the action that I want to develop is continue to try this pairing. So we may have talked about it on here. I know you and I have talked about it. I have eliminated quite a bit of any type of entertainment podcast or books that I used to be interested in or I'd pursue. Whenever I've been working on this struggle, I'm like, okay, I need to reduce this so that I can increase, you know, scripture readings and just talking mm-hmm. about the Bible and different things like that. And I think what I'm finding is that was a good move, but I can also strategically look at these pairings of out-of-Bible resources that tie into the Bible to help me think about things in the, you know, because it's tying into like my life and the reality that I'm walking into right now. It makes it a little bit easier for me to bridge that gap so that I'm not having to carry so much of that cognitive load on my own while I'm reading right. scripture. Right? Somebody's walking me through that whenever I'm listening to out of these resources.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, as long as I found that I can't turn down the volume on how often I'm still listening to the Bible and reading the Bible, but I can do this in addition, which is time consuming, but I found helpful. So I want to continue to develop that and explore kind of some other things that I can do around this mm-hmm. being a generous giver.
Yeah. That's a good idea, dude. I think I have recognized I want to continue to develop building relationships. I haven't talked about it as much recently. You know, the stage of life is sometimes it's harder to find time to build those relationships up. That you have to carve out more time sometimes to have a conversation with somebody or go do something with somebody. You know, maybe I can read.
It takes a lot more planning.
Organization. And I can read scripture on my own. I can pray on my own. Sometimes that just takes like 10 minutes to do for if I want to sit down and read a chapter, you know. It's a heavier commitment sometimes to sit down with another person. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it incredibly difficult. And yet I find that when I do sit down with other people, I come away feeling a different kind of refreshment. Mm-hmm. Even if I might be a little more tired because it took more time and it's later in the evening. I'm like, that was fun to do that. Or that was helpful to like share some things in my life and to comfort them or offer encouragement to them for hard things going on in their life. Like it also does something for me to hear about somebody else's struggles or journey or praises, you know? And I feel like I come away sometimes from those experiences feeling like, oh, I guess I do fit in or I do belong or I am loved or people do care about me. I'm not just on my own doing this thing. And I think that's an important aspect for all of us to feel that you are not on your own.
And it's funny because that ties into number five, right? So it's, you know, is this how you imagine some success in handing your struggles over to Jesus would look? I always thought it would look like doing things alone. And that just be...
Yeah.
So I don't know where I got this. Mm-hmm. Was just like, oh, just to pray more on my own. I just had to read the Bible more on my own. You know, do these different types of things. But me doing a lot of this stuff relationally, like even right now, just talking about it helps solidify things for me. You and I having conversations before we record or anything like that, talking to my friends, my Bible study group, people at church, whatever it may be that a lot of this is alone. But for me, the majority of it isn't. It's in conjunction with my friends, family, community.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the biggest difference between what has been working versus how I imagine things would work.
Yeah, I get that, dude. I think there's something to be said that we do have a personal relationship with Jesus, but that can't be the only kind of relationship we have with Jesus. We do need that. You have to have a communal relationship with the Lord as well. Because we're commanded to in Scripture, for one thing, and because of how much more benefit we get of our experience of the Lord, how much more of Him we get to see, and how much more we're impacted whenever we include other people in our relationship with Him.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that you find that, even though that was the expectation, that you're getting more than just what you expected. That's a good thing.
How about you?
Similar. You know, I guess part of me expected or imagined that with success, it would look like a lot more maybe beating myself up into submission to just hunker down and do. And I don't feel that weight or pressure. I think, if anything, I feel less shame. And sometimes I've used shame in my life to motivate me and push me into just being better, doing more, being more disciplined. But I don't feel a pressure that I have to be disciplined. I feel a want and a joy to be disciplined. And I don't feel as much shame in my life. And so I think that's what surprises me all the time. It's happened before, but that as I have success in handing my struggle over, I don't feel a weight on me that I have to do X, Y, or Z. And it feels very, what's the right word? Relieving?
Yeah.
Free? And I think that says something about, you know, part of my struggle in and of itself, that my imagination tells me that why I wouldn't want to do it is because I have to shame myself more or beat myself up more.
Yeah, like that would have been maybe some type of friction or some type of block.
Yeah, 100%. Talked
about previously.
Yeah. Okay. Moving into question six. Has handing this part of your life over to Jesus created the shift in your life you hoped, or has this led you to noticing more you need to hand over?
I'd say what do you both.
Think? Both.
Both. I was thinking about this actually this morning before I got to bed. I was thinking of how can I give more money away? That was a new thought. It isn't the first time I've had the thought. Usually the thought comes along with vast wealth, right? Like if I hit the lottery and I win just an extreme amount
of money. What would I do with it?
Well, it isn't even so I get into this, can't remember if we talked about it on here. I get into this mind game of how much money would it cost to end homelessness in St. Louis, where we live. We live in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'll sit there and start looking up stuff and start trying to like calculate it. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, like I would be able to mobilize this wealth for this, missing the idea that I can do something now, though. I don't have to wait for this multi-million dollar lottery win, which is, I don't play the lottery. So so it's a complete fantasy, because even every time that I see that it's way up there, I'm like, oh, I should go buy a ticket. I never do.
But
I get into that fantasy land. And so like there's been this shift where it's like, what can I do now? How can I give more now? And I don't have to have this pile of money to be able to do it. I don't have to have the security blanket to do it. But I'd say that I still have work in this area, because there are still these times that I have the insecurities that show up. And so there definitely has to still be continued work for me in handing the struggle over to Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course. I think it has created a shift that I hope for. And that hope is just that I have a better closeness with the Lord. I think that's always kind of what I hope for, is that each and every single day I'll feel a little closer to Jesus.
Yeah. I can be a little bit closer to the goal that we'll never actually reach.
No, yeah, I'll never arrive, but like every day, like I want to feel like I am covered by him, right? That he is near to me, that I feel his presence, that I am thoughtful of him, that he changes the way that I speak to others, the way I speak to my wife or my children, that he affects me down to my core so that what comes out of me mm-hmm. is him and not so much me. You know, it's all right if I'm in the mix a little bit because I still need to be my unique self, right?
Right.
And ironically, I think what happens is the more longing and desire I have for him to affect me and to change every part of me, I think inevitably that does lead me to noticing that I need more of him. Mm-hmm. I cannot do this on my own. I am so much more sinful and corrupt to my core than I ever dared believe.
Right. And you're not supposed to do it on your own.
And I'm not supposed to. Yeah, I. Mm-hmm. The closer I get to him, the more I realize that I have a long way to go, mm-hmm. and I need to grow more and heal more and change more. I see just how. I was thinking about this the other day. It probably came after a moment whenever I got angry at one of the kids or something, or was short with my wife. And I had to like apologize to my wife later, which happens weekly, if not daily, guys. But man, I am a wretch, and I feel the weight of all of those worship songs that, you know, kind of depict ourselves that way. I am such a wretch that I desperately need the Lord and his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy, because without him, what would be fair for me is to be struck down right now where I sit and to go into eternal torment. That's how I feel, like the seriousness of my sin. Like even reading through some of these Old Testament moments of like how seriously God takes it. Mm-hmm. Like I do not deserve him. I do not deserve this gift that he's given me. And so the closer I feel to him, the more I see of how he's forgiven me and loved me and pursued me, the more I feel like, well, of course I know I don't deserve it.
Right.
I see how horrible I am sometimes. And I think that I see more of it the closer I get, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and the beautiful combo there is that the shame that would have maybe blocked you before.
Right. This doesn't feel like shame. Yeah. This feels like an acknowledgement of I know my place and that I desperately need mm-hmm. his forgiveness and more intimacy with him. That's what I desire. It's
like that place can take a back seat so that you can move closer.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't a hit on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's about my heart condition, yeah. right? It's about my actions, behavior, my thoughts, but it's not who I am. Who I am is a son of the Most High King. I know that. I believe that. Or at least I tell myself that most of the time. Right. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I know it, but I felt it this week, you know? Yeah. And I'm glad I felt it because that helps me feel genuine conviction and not shame. So. Mm-hmm.
Number 7, take time to think about how you were versus how you are now. And when you think about these changes that you've made over time, how do you feel about yourself? I think you actually talked to us a little bit about this just naturally. And I would concur. I often, feel better about myself. Because it's less me having to do this on my own and more me recognizing that this is a relational thing with God and my wife, who I have a covenant with as well, that I am meant to lean into.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think about the changes that I'm making, it is small decisions that I make in a moment-by-moment basis. I just had this happen the other day, actually. It's a small example or interesting example. My friends, so we play this game, and I was going to be gone because I went to a comedy show with my wife. And so my friends decided to play this game without me, and with the hopes of finishing that night that we'd normally get together and do our game. And they were not successful in finishing it that night, so mm-hmm. they had picked another night during the week. And one of my friends told me, like, hey, Craig, if you want to join us, you can. And so I asked my wife, and she's like, I'd rather you spend time with me and, like, do this puzzle that mm-hmm. we have. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Now, mm-hmm. did I want to go and play that game? Yes. But I'd made this, like, in my mind, I was like, well, like, I don't really need to do that game. Like, I don't get to spend as much time with my wife as I'd like to spend. Like, mm-hmm. she wants to do this. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Mm-hmm. And I know exactly why I'd want to do that. In my mind, I'm like, oh, but this is a different type of fun. My friends that maybe I'd enjoy more mm-hmm. or different things. And that's a certain kind of life that brings to me. But spending that time with my wife and doing that puzzle together and us just talking and chatting while we're doing that was a different type of life. And it yeah. was a different move that I made that is a reflection of a different type of maturity that yeah, I had in that moment.
Yeah.
And so for you, while you're doing this question, like, consider there's maybe quite a few different things that have changed, and there may not be very many, and that's okay. This is the part where we're just trying to acknowledge and kind of wrap our mind mm-hmm. around it a little bit. You know, this is that placing of the stone so that we can be like, oh, yeah. like I am making these changes
yeah.
and I want to recognize those yeah. changes, because if those changes affect how I feel about me or affect my progress, that's good. So if I look at the struggle that I have, me making that choice with my wife does apply to it, because part of the difficulty of being a fearful giver or not being able to be a cheerful giver in this like scarcity and this kind of like wrapped up in this not being enough is the scarcity around enjoying time with my friends, around enjoying time with my wife. So like there's this competition that shows up there. And whenever I can tell myself there'll be other times with my friends, and there'll be other times my wife too, but I want to spend that time because I haven't got a lot of time. Mm-hmm. It lets me sit in a different heart condition there. I wasn't sitting there the whole time being like,
totally.
Oh man, I'm missing this game with my friends. I was sitting there and I was able to actually enjoy this,
right.
which is what I want to do whenever I'm, you know, giving away financial resources that God's blessed me with.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you're sitting there and you're comparing these things, just give yourself time to really sit in that and try to recognize some of those changes, because even tangential changes can be related to the struggle.
Yeah, I concur. Yeah, I've had a lot of those similar experiences mm-hmm. recently. yeah, I just got a new game and I'm loving it, enjoying it, so much fun. You know, every now and then, like, I'll let myself indulge and have a new game and something that kind of like refills my emotional, mental tank. I only have like a little bit of time in the evening after kids go to sleep that I could play it. But there's a lot of times like I need to spend time with my wife. It's like the only time we have to connect. And if she's up for it and she's not exhausted and still has energy to do something, it's like it feels so much better to actually have that time with her. And it's a different type of fun. It's a different type of refilling of my tanks. Mm-hmm. So much so that by the time she's going to sleep, and I could have some time, it's getting late though, to go play a game and refill tanks more, I don't really feel like I need to do it. I don't need it, which is feels very different than where I was like 5 years ago, before I had kids. Right. And something's changed in my heart over the past few years where I am able to tell myself, like, I'm still okay if I can't do the thing I want to do. It's not a need of mine. And I have a higher priority to have these connections,
yeah,
to have adequate sleep and rest so that when I wake up in the morning, like, it's easier for me to actually connect with the Lord and to allow him to penetrate my heart and change my behavior and the way that I move towards my children when I'm still tired early in the morning.
Right.
So I have enjoyed over the past few years, and I know that's longer than what we've been working on in this workbook. I've enjoyed seeing those changes in me. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel better about myself. Yeah, I think that's okay
to reflect back that far.
Yeah.
And kind of notice the shifts that have occurred in your life. Number 8, what area of your intimacy with God do you want to continue to develop? It's pretty easy for me. Prayer. I always read about different things in the Bible where people are like crying out to God. And like I imagine this like emotional turmoil. And I'm much more emotional now than I ever have been in my life ever that I can remember. But I got some work to do on that to be able to get to that place to be very emotionally raw. And I can get there sometimes in prayer. And I want to be able to continue to work on that. I want to be able to reliably do that because that way it feels more like I'm showing the distress.
Yeah.
And I know with my work with couples, a lot of times whenever that distress is shown, it's also increasing the opportunity for us to take in a new signal. Mm-hmm. Which is like what I want to do with God, right? Take in a new signal of God's here, God loves me, God cares about what's going on. Yeah. And sometimes the best way to receive that is to be in that place of distress. Yeah. And so that's something I want to continue to develop.
Makes sense, man. I think it's similar for me. I would tack on maybe, I haven't talked about this as much, but scripture memorization. You know, as I read through the Bible more and have in the back of my mind my own struggle. Whenever I was younger, I was a little bit better about memorizing some different chunks of scripture, you know, having the reference memorized as well and kind of being able to pull those out in certain moments when I'm tempted to think a certain way, feel a certain way, act a certain way, to remind myself of truth, not just being saturated with truth as I, you know, run to scripture and my time with the Lord, but to have it in my mind and maybe in my heart as I'm in the middle of a circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I miss that. That feels like another level of intimacy with the Lord. Mm-hmm. To have, you know, what Psalm 119 tells us, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Right.
To feel like I have his word hidden within me, that I can access at any time, that can also, I think, change my prayer, how I pray or when I pray, so that it's emboldened by scripture itself.
Yeah.
And I think that it enhanced my prayer life early on, and I missed that level of connection too. And I think that would also, in those moments of tension or trials with other people as I build relationships, hopefully give me more of a mindset to continuously bring it back to Jesus.
Right.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm in a similar place there.
Well, you've heard Matt and I talk a little bit about our journey. The next section and the reflect step invites you to reflect on your journey as a whole, write about it. You can come back to some of the places in this workbook. I always like to go back to the view of God section. I don't know, there's something special about that part to me, to explore my view of God, how it's changed, where it is now. You know, as I talked a little bit about at the beginning of this reflect part, that we are starting to answer some of these questions. And this is to invite you to do that. You have this entire next page to be able to write about it and talk a little bit about your journey. It's important in that consolidation. I want you to remember that, especially in the Old Testament, there is a repetition of God's deliverance that occurs in many of the different books. And then they use hyperlinks to those in different Jesus of speeches, right? And sermons that he's talking about, those teachings. So it's really important for us to have our journey and the context of this larger journey that all of us are on with God.
Yeah.
And having
connecting
your,
points.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. taking that time to write your journey down, where you're at and everything. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You might need more space than what we've provided. You know, feel free to do that. It's something that is giving us the opportunity to fully step into where we have been, where we are.
That's
and
right.
writing it down invites our brain into a different level of processing than
That's
just
right.
talking about it.
I would even encourage you, if you're in a place with a group of believers or men or women that you trust, to consider sharing it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm wanting to do with the group of men in my small group is each time that we meet up over the next few times, I would love for each of us to have one meetup where we share our journey, our testimony, our story with the others.
Yeah.
Because there's a power in knowing kind of the whole journey of somebody and being able to see it almost in chronological order when you look them in the eye and you remember the beautiful parts of their life and the hardest parts of their life. And you have in context almost this whole person when you're looking at them. And when you've shared your story, your testimony with them, you know that when they're looking at you, that they're seeing this whole developed person mm-hmm. as well. And so if you're able or have a moment where you have the courage to share it with somebody else, I would encourage you to think about doing that.
Right. Thank you so much for listening to this. I apologize we went over what we typically do.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, but there really wasn't an easy break in some of those questions.
No.
But the next time that we record, you know, and offer the podcast, we will be doing this forgive section. And that's going to be integral to your own journey. It's going to be integral to like conversations we need to have.
Oh, yeah. And it's a doozy.
Yes.
It's a hard one.
We will talk about this forgive section. We'll talk about forgiveness, and we will try to kind of give you an idea of what we're looking for in this section and what will be good for you in your journey to hand over your deepest struggles to Jesus. But until next time that we're able to talk about that, we hope for the best for you. We pray for the best for you, and just know that we love you very much. Take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. immediately go to the donation, and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content, and God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.